on that note, welcome to the Otaku Pride Podcast. We have two guests with us this week, Neil and Murat of Dance of Heart. And if you want to find them on Otaku Pride, they are Ku. Is that right?
Co.
We've discussed this many times. It's Ko.
I told you it was Ko.
Thank you.
Well, no one listens to you, Sasha.
I kept telling them it's Ko. It's Ko. And they were like, it's K-O-U. That's Ku.
All right. Well, anyway.
No. Right, I just laughed every time you said Ku. I'm just like, wow, that's totally
why did no one correct me? So, anyway. Well, now we know. And I'll say Ko forever. And Neil is Nina.
I'm Nina.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm scared.
That was weird. So we have a couple of things that you know, we want to ask you about. First of all, just tell us a little about your
who's
web manga.
Who's in the room with you?
Oh, also I have some co-hosts on this podcast. Sorry, I don't know what I'm doing. Tom.
Hey.
Sasha.
Hey.
Ryan.
How you doing?
And yeah, sorry about that.
And me.
Sure.
So tell us a little about your web manga.
Well, Dance of Heart is Dance of Heart is a project that's been in the making for at least 6 to 7 years, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, that was Ko groaning with glee. so it's been a long time since we've been working on it, and it's basically meant to kind of bring together all the ideas and experiences that we went through just growing up, hanging around arcades, and just
high school teenage life in general.
Yeah, pretty much. It's going to be a mix of a lot of different things, and you know, I don't want to ruin it, but it's definitely going to have dancing in it. That's really the key aspect of it, and I took a lot of inspiration from DDR and Para Para. And just dancing in general, because I love to dance, and so it's gonna be pretty exciting. It's gonna have a lot of parody, a lot of it's not gonna have a lot of romance actually. It's gonna have romance, but it's not gonna be the focus, the focal point of the story. It's gonna be a lot of just emotional, like soul searching kind of thing, which is pretty cool.
With Neil as a writer, you tend to get a lot of deep characters and complex situations that they're thrown into that I enjoy having to illustrate. So it's something definitely out of something that I would normally come up with. So I have to say, it gives me a chance to really come out of my comfort zone in terms of artwork. And I really get a chance to, I get pushed into things that I normally wouldn't. Like thanks to him, I've really developed my backgrounds, objects and dynamic movements and poses that I probably wouldn't have come up with if he hadn't written them into the script and all. So, yeah, it's definitely a fun project overall. Very fun visually and very deep in terms of writing.
All right, cool. So how many episodes out do you have the story outlined for?
Currently, like we're kind of moving forward as we go. I currently have 21, and that's counting the 15 that are already out. So I'm up to pretty much issue 21, and I'm just kind of rolling with it as I have the time and as Ko moves forward with it with everything.
As fast as I could.
Cool. So when do you think we're going to see some of that dancing coming into the play?
Yeah, that I would love to get to that point. I've always had trouble getting just to the nitty gritty of my story, so I'm always mm-hmm. been forever setting up, but it's not going to be forever. I guarantee you that we're going to probably see something close to around, I want to say maybe, yeah. 50 or 60, maybe. Yeah, maybe 50 or 60, and probably even earlier than that. But yeah, it's gonna start coming up somewhere around between 40 and 60, I would say.
Okay.
Are we gonna keep getting two a week? Are we gonna get an increase?
You know, I'll say this. It's entirely on my end. Now, this is an entirely new experience ever since I got this program, Manga Studio, that has really, it's both give me snags and accelerations in the production of my pages. While he can, you know, he can write just fine. It's usually on my end. Usually have to translate what he means, and then working together to try and come up with not just the visual aspects, but then knowing better ways and easier ways to kind of add the toning and really throw in throw up a really decent page. I'm getting better at it, so I can say that it will start. I can say, like, maybe hopefully it will start increasing. But at the moment, I am going to stay consistent with two pages, especially with school coming up, you know, my last year. And, you know, hopefully we'll see a little faster pace, a little more consecutive, a little more consistency.
Very cool. Speaking of Manga Studio, I know there's a lot of reader interest when you first put up the thing about how you actually produce it. Do you think you could talk about that a little bit? Just the, you know, the process of creating each one?
All right. Well, well, the way I used to do it was really was a kind of process that made everyone kind of go, "What? Really?" Because, you know, it was something different than what pros actually did. All I did was actually take rulers and just, you know, make the panels myself and just kind of draw them into the boxes. It didn't seem like anything wrong to me, but as you go along, you start to realize there are, you know, really good things you could do to make it seem a lot better, like 10 times better. So with Manga Studio, I realized a new process, a new thing I can go through. Now all I do is I take the script, I understand how many panels there are, I do a little sketch for it real quick, and just, you know, with hand, don't need to be simple with the boxes. Then I draw up each panel on individual pieces of paper, as big as I can, as clear as I can, and then I ink them over the outlines. And then I scan them each in Manga Studio. I create the panels by measuring out how big and how wide each image is. I play it around a few times. Once I get a good thing going, I end up then throwing a little tone in. Sometimes I'll use Adobe Photoshop to get some cleaner tones on, like, shades and stuff with the characters rather than the backgrounds. And then I'll add speech bubbles and sound effects later. Then I just throw in the finishing product into the final framework and send it to post it up on an FTP network where Neil views it over and lets me know if anything's up, anything needs to be changed, or just throws it up on the website.
Cool.
Yeah. It's been a work in progress to get to that point.
Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with just me being an utter perfectionist about everything.
Oh, yeah, I have no idea. Yeah, you don't want this guy being your boss.
Yeah, I'm seriously a stickler for perfection. I have a designer's eye. Like, I've developed that over the years of just doing what I actually get paid to do. So, like, when I look at something and I see a flaw, I'm going to be like, dude, what is this? And I'm either going to fix it myself or I'm going to have him work it out. But usually when he sends me over the final product or whatever, we're usually going back and forth, maybe through email over the course of, like, 2 or 3 days.
Well, then you just...
Huh?
Sasha's just talking.
Okay. we usually just go back and forth throughout the course of, like, 2 or 3 days, just collaborating and making sure everything is clear, everything's communicated the way I intended for it. And I know that sounds very selfish, but I'm trying to give Ko the leeway that he needs so that he can draw characters the way he sees them, as well as just make sure that everything is conveyed in a concise and clear manner. So, like, after everything is good or whatever, I basically take it and I put it up, set up on the site, and you guys can read it.
True. Yeah. Jim, what was that webcomic you showed me today?
Questionable Content?
Yeah, the difference between, like, episode 1 and what are we at, like, 1400 right now? Something like that.
That guy is legit.
It's huge, right? But already in Dance of Heart, from episode 1 to episode 15 right now, the difference is amazing. It's like episodes 1 and 2, I don't remember 3, but, you know, it was basic pencil sketching pretty much. And now at 15, just, like, the detail in the shading and everything is amazing.
Like, yeah, thank you. Like I said, it's he's a really big stickler, as you say, but it really brings out the best in me, and it reflects in on him, where he starts to overview every once in a while. He'll reread his scripts, and next thing you know, oh, there's an email saying an update. He changes script again, but you know, it's obviously before I get to it. But but yeah, it's that kind of perfection that really makes he brings the best out of me.
So you'd say your style has changed a lot since you started?
Oh, or, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's that's pretty much the reason why it's taken us so long to really take off with this thing. It's it's basically me being uncertain of things on my part, me not having the knowledge that I needed to really go through with really creating a web manga or web comic, whatever you want to call it. Like I needed to really work through my own worries and make sure that I was at a point where I could confidently say, okay, well, I think I'm ready to really do this and really ready to grab hold of this and make it happen. And I'm really glad that Ko has been so cooperative with me through all these years of working on it, because if you saw the old stuff that he drew, and like I've literally had him redo probably the first 5 to 10 issues or so, like maybe, yeah, I probably had him redo those like 2 or 3 times, because like we would get going and then we would stop and then we would come back to it and he would be better. So I'm like, okay, now that you're better and now that my writing is better, let's redo it. So and so I would be like, okay, I would rewrite my script and he would redraw it, and then we would, that happens like 2 or 3 times. And then it was actually at Manga Next 08 when we tried to get started with just putting our stuff out and tried to sell our art book for Dance of Art, trying to advertise for it or whatever. It was after that really got me just like, I'm tired of just doing this stop and go thing, because we've been doing this for 6 years. Like, let's actually do this. And I got myself in gear and we're just trying to roll with it.
So, Neil, I've got a question for you.
Awesome.
You're probably hear this a lot, but since Dance of Heart is based around a dance game, how is it different from DDR?
Okay. One thing I'm going to make clear, Dance of Heart is not going to be DDR. Not. Believe me, I've spent time, like, I play DDR, I play ITG, I've tried Parapara, it's all these elements and stuff, it's not going to be DDR. It's going to be something, it's people who play DDR or ITG or whatever, they're going to be able to identify with how the game is played. But Ko and I going back and forth with ideas and such, it's going to be something original all on its own. And I know people are going to be like, oh, you're just copying a concept. And
yeah, whatever.
Well, no, not really. because once the game actually like is shown in an arcade setting, because the majority of the story, the focus of the story is going to be predominantly in arcade settings. And so it's going to be a lot of that culture and kind of an underground teenage kind of punk, whatever you want to call it, culture. Of people who are really into this game and find something that awakens something special in them by playing this game. And it's going to be it's going to actually be dancing. Like the game, I guess I will throw out this tidbit. The game is going to be based on your ability to dance. Like, it's not going to be just move your feet, to move stomp your on a hands, triangle. And
try to hit targets.
Yeah, try
and
to
points.
Hit targets and get a score.
Yeah.
It will have that feature to it, but it's going to be the complete opposite. Like there's like freestyle. There's people who freestyle in DDR and like and do all these crazy dance moves while playing the game, but they're still limited to actually passing the song because they still have to hit the targets. The pads or whatever. So it's predominantly going to be based on your ability to dance, and I plan on incorporating a lot of different kinds of songs and music, and I know that's still a work in progress in my mind, but it's generally not going to be DDR. It's just not. I'm trying to avoid that as much as possible.
If anything, I see it more being as complete and pure self-expression. So that way you really get to get, I guess, a third or extra fourth dimension on their character.
Another thing I wanted to bring up was the two extra issues you guys had when Ko was on vacation.
Yeah.
Who was that artist that we had in there?
What was that?
When we had the two extra issues, mm-hmm. When Ko was on vacation, who did we have drawing those two?
Oh, yeah. Well, the first one was just a simple sketch of, for me, Yuriko. Mm-hmm. I just had her do a little quick, you know, fun-looking pose and all just to state where I was going. But the next one was actually a recruitment into Aether Future. You want to tell them about him?
Yeah. That's Zion, Zion Strife. That's the alias he goes by. He was recruited into Aether Future sometime mid-July. I had already decided that after... Ko and I had already proved that we would seriously be going through with appearing at different conventions and really selling our work and really getting serious about this creative circle that I founded. I really wanted to have other artists involved so that other people could get so that other people could be, I guess, catered to with a different art style, and basically. He did the fan art for Miyake, and that's basically what you saw. And the two extra issues, since Ko was on vacation, I was actually the one who produced those. Like I told Ko to draw Yuriko because I wanted Yuriko is actually a very integral part of the story. She doesn't seem like it very yet, but she's going to be a key character. So I wanted to kind of give her that spotlight because that's kind of her character. She likes to talk and really like, just be open with stuff. So, yeah.
So will Zion be in future episodes as maybe an extra or as a main artist? Or?
I plan on keeping the art strictly between just Ko and I working on this. Mm-hmm. Zion will be, like, he is doing other things. I'm actually having him develop some illustrations that we will be selling at the next convention that Aether Future appears at, which is likely to be Anime Next 2010.
Yeah, and I have to say, like, speaking as also as an artist, I really do appreciate his style. It's really good to have someone else just actually working beside you who's on the same medium as you are. He does things with color and just random backgrounds that I would never even thought of. So I think it's kind of fresh to have him come on board, and it's fun to see him actually doing stuff like that every once in a while to help me out. And, you know, I hope I don't know if he'll be actually doing any pages, but he probably may throw in a little fan art here or there. Yeah.
All right, very cool.
So I know it's a web manga, but will you have any... printed materials, like at cons, will you have like a volume or fan art or what?
I hope so someday. That would be awesome.
What was that? Was that the end of your question, Sasha?
Yeah, just like, I mean, is there going to be any other medium other than the internet that we can find it?
Yeah. I can't guarantee that. I can't say when that's going to happen because we're just getting started. I actually have no... like real sense of our fan base. I know is that I have friends that are reading it. I know you guys are reading it. But that's really all I know of for sure. But the whole idea behind starting Aether Future in the first place was to get our material, our creative material out in a published fashion so that people could tangibly have our work, and so that we could actually be the ones producing it, not going to someone else to get our stuff printed or whatever. Though we still do that, basically, like I'm running the show in terms of what we get printed and stuff like that. So I would like to say that Dance of Heart will be published in some shape or form. We did do an art book at Manga Next 08. But that didn't go over very well, just to be completely honest, because no one knew who we were. One knew of Dance of Heart. Like, Dance of Heart wasn't even on the internet at that time. That was before I decided to really bite the bullet and go through with it. So So yeah, the plan is to print stuff and to have things tangibly available at
some
point.
So how are you promoting the website? How are you getting it out there, you know? What avenues are you taking?
Mostly I
Otaku Pride.
It's really hard to come by at this point in time, because like with my job and I'm just trying to work through that.
As of now, it's you guys, you know.
Yeah, it's you guys have really played a great part in publicizing and really just supporting us, and we really appreciate that. We don't take that lightly.
Oh, no problem, guys.
Yeah, like we honestly really do appreciate that.
Yeah, we love the comic,
but in terms of
like twice a week.
In terms of our own work, I'm using Twitter. What I'm really waiting for is for me to finish the freaking site. I want to finish the freaking Ether Future site so that I can actually design a custom layout for Dance of Heart. And I think once I've gotten past those two hurdles, then I will have less reason not to be actively promoting the webcomic. But I am, like, I'm letting people know about it. I'm tweeting about it. I have a lot of people that are following me. I can't guarantee that they're actually reading it, but that's okay. But generally, you can't really guarantee that anyone's ever reading anything that you put out on the internet in general. So right. It's
especially
so
on Twitter.
You do what you can do, and yeah.
Yeah,
I
agree.
I think it's safe to say there's a nice little user base that reads your comic every week, just looking at the view counts on the thread you guys put on OP.
At least 100 people.
And, like I said, I personally appreciate that. I really wish I could be part of the community more, but lately I've hit a snag myself, so I've had to deal with a lot of financial issues in terms of trying to pay for a surgery that I can't afford and trying to prepare for classes in my last year of school, so I'm sorry that I'm not on. I really wish I could be part of your community more.
I think it's safe to say that you've contributed a bit, you know, with our error pages going on there.
Yeah, that's how you know.
Oh, yeah, I was looking for a good time to bring that up. Co, right? Yeah, Co actually is the artist that drew our 500 error page with the you know, the tribute to Ed and Al of Full Metal Alchemist that had a 6-hour debut this weekend. Sorry about that.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a downtime there.
So if you like that art, there you go. Now you know where it came from. And there's also a Conan the Detective 404 page not found art that you can find if you just type in a, you know, slash anything that doesn't exist, like Otaku Pride slash, you know, your mom.
Your mama.
Yeah, I just saw that for the first time today. I was really impressed. And, I, you know, kind of sucks that I found it, I guess, because that means I hit an error. But it's still cool to see that, you know.
That was always the goal, just to have it be, you know, a fun thing. It's like, you know, the fail whale on Twitter. It's like, well, I don't get Twitter, but at least I get
cool
this pretty
whale.
Picture.
So true.
The bird's flying a whale away.
Oh. Oh, we should have, like, the OP monkey or something. Like,
Rod, can you do something about that?
Yeah. Can you recreate Tom as a monkey?
A monkey.
You got it.
Like, Twitter's got a whale, and we need, like, a monkey or a zebra.
Otaku gets
not
a monkey.
A zebra.
Okay.
Can it be an Irish monkey who has a beer in his hand?
That has something to do with Japanese culture? How?
I don't know.
Well, Tom is a very big part of Japanese culture. He's well known
Tom is
throughout
a big
the world.
Yes.
Of it.
I made Japan.
In general, yeah.
See, there's this country called Japan, and I made it.
Oh, yeah.
Single-handedly.
It.
All right, you want a mascot? You got it.
All right, cool.
Well,
sweet.
I actually wanted to put together a Miku theme, so I was just going to pop around, like, DeviantArt and see what came up, but, you know, and ask for permission, of course. But if you're willing to draw something,
absolutely.
You know,
I do
cool.
fan art just for the hell of it. I love it because not all the time am I always able to pull from my own imagination. I always like to, but there are times when I really do get a fresh start or a fresh, you know, taste of, you know, other ideas when anyone else has any requests. It gives me something to work on. It's fun. I always welcome commissions.
So I just want to bring it back to the Dance of Heart a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you base your characters on real people, if there's a specific people that they're based on. Also, like, what is your relation to them? I mean, let's hear a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, when I first started Dance of Heart, Well, I guess I should probably mention like what really sparked. Like, I should give like a little short preface for what started Dance of Heart. I was sitting at my computer and I was playing a DDR simulation thing on my computer. I don't know if you guys know that
with
such
ASDF.
A thing exists, but yeah, I was doing that and just working on whatever. And but then after I had done that, I listened like there was a song that I had on CD. And I listened to it, and like at that moment, I started having inspiration for this story in which people, like, it started off like people playing DDR. Let's actually do a story about people playing DDR. But then, like, as I developed the idea, it became something that was not centered around DDR and
something
actually
more.
Yes, something beyond just something that's already existing. And that could really be communicated through the story that I had in mind and the concept that I had in mind. But as for characters, when
specifically Miyazaki.
What?
Specifically Miyazaki. Who?
Miyaki?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Miyazaki.
Miyazaki?
Sorry, different show.
Where's he?
That'd be pretty awesome.
We should get Miyazaki into this manga.
It's a secret character. You guys never saw him?
Speaking of, I think we should all go down and see Ponyo and, you know, talk about it on the podcast.
Derailed.
No. Big time.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No, but seriously.
Yeah, get off your
iPhone.
Who's
that based on?
Miyaki Namida is based on Leanne.
my girlfriend.
Aww. Yeah, Ko's girlfriend. At the time, at the time, I had a bit of a thing for her, and because I was about to go into college, but I still had a thing for her, or whatever. So I originally conceptualized Miyaki's character design from how she looked, and if you look at Ko's old artwork, you could possibly see a resemblance, but there's still some of Leanne there in the hair. Even though it's turned anime, there's still a lot of that in the hair. But mostly, I had a lot of her personality. There was a lot of Miyaki's personality that I took from Leanne to kind of establish her as the main character, because she is the lead character, and she will be treated as such. But over time, I kind of found, like, Miyaki kind of told me a little bit about herself without me having outside interference. So what you see, the Miyaki that you see now is much different than the one that I originally conceptualized based off of Leanne. So, yeah. As for the other characters, no, they're completely made up.
I do remember, though, they're... Keisuke, he's a bit of a troublemaker, preppy, really fun kind of guy. And yeah. I do remember you once saying there was this, I don't know, Sasha might know Camilo, just from his like jerky attitude that Neil kind of pulled from that and created a very a very annoying person, but it still has a lot of room for a lot of
hopefully he's
interesting
not listening.
Twists.
Yeah, I guess you could say that Keisuke, like you're gonna see a little bit more of Keisuke as the issues, the next few issues you're gonna really see what he's like. But then again, you're only seeing one layer of what he's like. There's actually a lot more to him than. But that goes for any of my characters. I don't like making two-dimensional characters. They are very widely dimensioned characters, and I plan on making it all make sense as everything rolls on. But yeah, he would be like Milo.
yeah, you gotta choke on that a little.
Yeah, yeah.
So are we gonna be on schedule to see new episodes tomorrow?
Actually, I'm working on a page as we speak right now on my laptop.
And how's that looking?
It's very second.
It's coming out good. I'm working on the toning right now. Should be adding some speech bubbles. Messing around with the panels a little bit more, and it'll be thrown up by tomorrow for sure.
Okay, cool.
I really can't say anything about that because it's really all in his hands.
Yeah, it's me.
I can't say, well, it's going to be up such and such a time. I can only guesstimate.
Guesstimate?
That is a word.
Wow, didn't know.
Yeah.
Learn something new. The more you know.
I have written on my little list of things that I'm going to ask you about. I've got it on a whiteboard here. What your favorite character is. At this point, I think it's safe to say that it's Miyake, but I just want to confirm that because in case it's not, then we could have a very interesting topic.
Yeah, you could say Miyake. I usually pronounce it Miyake Namida.
Miyake, okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to go the extra mile on that one.
That's a lot of extra work there. You have to, like, got to hold back that the emphasis until the end.
Especially from that guy.
All right. Well, normally every week we pick a few threads from the site, you know, and so if you have already picked some out, then you could just tell us and we'll talk about them. Otherwise, we'll all talk about some threads that we picked out and you can look at the website while we
and
do
we'll
it.
Pick them for you.
No, you could pick your own while we're talking or whatever. I mean, so.
Well, I'll say something real quick. Maria posted a thing on the Ponyo movie today. And I watched the trailer, and okay, it's a Disney movie, so wasn't really expecting much. Looked a little bit humorous for like a little kid movie targeted for like 5 and 10 year olds, I guess. But they had this lady. If you go on the thread, look at it. There's this lady talking about it, and she's just dumb.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't even know how to pronounce the movie. Is it Ponyo or Ponyo? I don't know.
Maybe I'll watch the trailer that we're embedding in
and
our
video. And the
trailer
says the name of the movie in it, so she's just dumb and didn't watch the trailer right there. So, first comment on there, Jim says, what woman has no idea what she's talking about? I don't know. Yeah, are you guys going to see the movie? I know Sasha wanted to see it.
I don't know. I've heard good things about it. People are like, oh, I'm gonna go see that. But, it doesn't really, like, I know it's a Miyazaki film. I'm not crazy about Miyazaki, to be completely honest. I love Nausicaa. Totoro was good. Howl's Moving Castle, I recently saw that. It was pretty darn good. I enjoyed that. But, Ponyo, I'd like to check it out just to give Miyazaki that kind of, just benefit of the doubt.
Right.
It's not really on my things to do list.
I agree. Not on the top of my list. I only have eyes for Nemo. So that's one I probably won't be seeing, though. I did watch the trailer, so that's more time than I usually would have given it. But I did see G.I. Joe the other day, and I liked that for
a movie. Oh, really?
Yeah, I did.
I don't know. I didn't see it. I threw it off as it maybe is bad of me to really judge it, but I just threw it at, like, just another typical action movie that someone threw a childhood name on for marketing. Like, yeah, did it really...
Well, basically, but...
did it really did it deliver it. Good? Really?
It's so... I don't know. It was a two-hour movie. The first hour was pretty good, had a bit of a plot, and very nice action. Like, it all flowed together very well.
And it's shorter than Transformers 2, so that's always good.
Yeah, right. The second hour, it was kind of more of the mindless action with no plot. Just like, okay, we're shooting stuff, and oh, yay, that blew up. Hey,
we're looking at water.
And then it all tied up at the end, you know? So it was cool. They introduced all the main characters and everything, and the nice thing that I liked was they were given, like, backstories the whole movie. They do, like, a flashback and show you how people got to where they were. And I thought that was a nice touch that they put on
that I was not expecting
at all. Yeah. So you saw, like, some, was it Storm Shadow?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had, like, the background story on him and a couple other guys. So I liked that.
Yeah, but did they have Snow Job? No.
What's a Snow Job?
Yeah, that's what I'd like to know.
Yeah, right?
Is that some new hip thing?
Yes, some new hip G.I. Joe.
Yeah. But as far that's about it for my Ponyo rant, even though it kind of ended on G.I. Joe, oddly enough. Hey.
All right, well, the one I picked was Rosario plus Vampire, or I don't even know. I'm just reading it.
With a voice crack.
All right, I'm sorry. But we all watched the first episode of it today in my bedroom.
That's what I watched?
Whoa. And, I mean, it's interesting. Have you guys watched it?
No, I'm usually, like, I've heard of it. I kind of passed it off as something that I wouldn't really find much interest in.
As softcore porn goes, it's pretty good.
You're pretty right about that. Yeah, it's very etchy, so...
Yeah, that was another thing. Not really my style. Yeah. I have seen a few characters from there, especially the purple-haired girl with the lollipop. Yeah, I've seen her around, and I like her character design, but I can already tell that the series was just predominantly ecchi-driven, so I just kind of like, well...
Yeah,
like, sometimes I go into that, but sometimes I don't.
It's the like, format of the show is like a monster a day kind of a thing, so I don't know. Didn't really do it for me.
Just seeing, like, characters go and transform into, like, dude, I'm a monster. Whoa, vampire, what?
I'm a bat!
Yeah.
So how is that any different from, like, Bleach or anything else like that? I don't see any difference.
Do not compare Bleach.
Yeah, dude. No.
No, I will. Bring it.
All right, well, all I have to say about this is that if you watch, like, you don't want to watch the whole series, probably, but... One episode is definitely worth it just for the comic value.
It's humorous.
It is quite funny.
I did laugh. For all the points that were in between the really dumb parts, I laughed. You know, I felt like my IQ was going down, and then I laughed and I forgot that my IQ was going down. So it was all right.
Come on, there was a scary bat, and then a kid got tagged by a bicycle. How was that
It was funny bat. That
no,
said,
it was
I'm
scary. It was scary. It told me what it was.
A
I don't like
that
bats
says,
talking
bat.
To me.
You know, that's,
I'm a bat!
Hey, that's really scary.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. Animals that announce, first of all, not just their presence, but what they are. It's like, I'm a caterpillar.
That's like Pokemon. You say what your name is because you don't know anything else.
Huh, maybe that's where it came from. The bat was supposed to be like...
Copycats.
Zorbat.
Speaking of, they should make a live-action Pokemon, shouldn't they?
Live-action Pokemon.
Oh,
live-action
Pokemon. Oh, no. My God.
Yeah, it's in one of the posts that someone was like, what would you like to see as a live-action? First thing I thought of, Pokemon.
Wait, I got an idea. Yeah. They're going to make... an anime out of that horrible vampire thing.
Okay. Twilight?
That we call Twilight. So what if they made a live action of the anime of
what,
Twilight?
What, live action Pokemon?
No, a live action anime Twilight.
Oh, okay. So they make Twilight into the anime, and then they make a live action based on the cartoon.
That's repetitive and badly repetitive.
No, recursion is great.
Do not want.
Recursion is great.
I don't know. That would be weird. You would lose everything by the time you got back to the live action.
Yeah.
Perfect. Exactly what we need.
I mean, at least with the Pokemon thing, you got, you know, Pikachu smoking a cigar. Like I said, Lapras has got some propellers going, and then you got the little Goldeen with, I don't know. Whatever.
Wait, are you proposing that humans play the Pokemon?
Of course. You got to have a man in the suit. And then you got all the flying Pokemon hanging from cables.
So you're up with the animatronics.
CGI.
Hey, that would be cool. CGI, I don't know. Like, that's like old school Star Wars with Yoda being a puppet.
Yeah.
Yo, Sasha's cosplay came in today.
Ooh.
Yeah, but it's unfortunately a little
too
small.
Well, she's a little too fat for it, so.
Sasha's too fat? What?
Just a little backstory for people who don't know us. Sasha weighs, I don't know, what, 105?
We don't spit numbers out here.
Yeah, I know how much she weighs.
You can carry her with one hand, right? You can just say that.
Yes.
You really could.
I do.
It's like kind of pathetic.
I
a strong wind blows and I get carried away.
Why don't you tell us what your
that's
cosplay
like
is? That's how you like them. There's just silence for that one line.
Innuendo.
I like them small so I can throw them around.
So, Sasha, what's your cosplay?
So, I ordered a Miku cosplay, the Vocaloid.
Not a summary, just tell us what it
is. 20 minutes later.
No, it's actually really cool, though. It's got these things that go on her arms that are battery-powered, and they flash lights that go along
no
to the
way.
Music. Yes,
it's
no, it's awesome.
It's so cool.
Damn.
Except it doesn't fit.
Yeah, the top is a little too small for me, so I gotta figure out what to do about that. I don't think there's enough time.
Oh, you must have picked Asian
send
size.
It back.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. The sizes in Asian are different. Like,
yeah,
in Asian,
normally I wear extra
Asian
small.
Asian small is called infant in America.
Or America small is called infant in Asia, one or the other.
Yeah,
well,
I
they got that 1 week time difference, so by the time the week goes by, you're different.
It's already shrunk by the time it gets here.
Oh my goodness.
All right, we're sending back and getting the what size? We're getting the bigger one, right? So you're still gonna go as Miku.
I don't think there's enough time.
Right? So you just gotta cut and paste, right? Get some duct tape and paste
maybe
it on
we could
there.
Just sew in like a little panel of what do you call it, spandex.
Well, I was going to try to wear, like, a gray undershirt.
Just stop eating so much. I don't know.
God. That's not safe.
Drop down to 87 pounds.
Oh, great. Wait, hey, clock's ticking.
By the way, are you guys going to New York Anime Fest?
Yeah, I'm going to New York Anime Fest. Murat isn't going.
Oh, dear. Oh, no. So sad.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll come over to New Jersey and visit you afterward.
We'll wave at you.
Say maybe hi. Me and Sasha will.
Okay, that sounds good.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I'm planning on going on Saturday with a friend of mine. So,
a friend?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
Is it isn't he is cosplaying as a Vocaloid as well?
He?
I
don't hang out with guys. Isn't that? Irony.
Well,
I don't hang out with guys.
Hello.
So you're cosplaying too, right?
What?
Oh, you completely forgot about.
Anyway.
Hi.
I'm actually going with a female friend of mine that co-introduced me to about 8 months ago, and
Pixar didn't happen.
Yeah. And
wait, so did it?
And so we're gonna be catching a bus there or whatever and hanging out, and I'm hoping to run into you. I want to run into you guys. I want to hang out with you guys and
absolutely
make her feel extremely awkward. Because she doesn't know any of you.
Excellent. So are you cosplaying?
I'm thinking of going as Setsuna. I'm not sure. I still haven't decided because I still haven't gotten my ticket yet, actually. The hold up with that is because I need a printer. Print out my confirmation so I can't buy it until I can print out this stupid thing. So,
what are these printers that you speak of?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's kind of retarded. So yeah. I don't.
And your lady friend? Is she cosplaying?
She is not cosplaying, which is why I'm hesitating on whether to cosplay or not. Because she would be in normal clothes, and I would be like all Setsuna FSA and stuff. And
you got some cool clothes, though.
Yeah, it makes
you
look awesome.
That's a good point. That's a good point. She does
roll with it. Make a costume for it.
She has a really good style for
it.
Harajuku style, if you guys know what that is. It's Japanese goth type, punk, pop type style.
Well, I'm going to go as a cat girl for one of the days, so...
Awesome.
For how many costumes do you
have? Completely original.
11.
11 costumes for
2 days? No, that's
a
lie. I made that up.
Well, no, you dress up as different things on different days.
I should dress up as Sasha. That would be
quite difficult.
Because
you're about 2 feet tall.
No idea.
I think I do a better job dressing up as Sasha.
Who wants to put in the earplugs?
Tall Irishman. Tom, how tall are you?
6'3".
Yeah, that's not Sasha at all.
And I am 5'1".
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah.
And a quarter.
You're like a hobbit.
When you're 5'1", that quarter is important.
Yes.
All right, so if you guys pick out some site threads. You could pick out anyone.
You guys
anyone's that you like. I mean,
you should talk
Nina's
about
got a whole bunch
most
on the site.
Recent
I have to say,
one.
I really like Sasha's latest post. I just read it while we were all talking here, and... I have to say, gender benders, cool topic. It's a very complicated one. It's one that, you know, a lot of people that don't usually can live their entire life without ever running into the concept. And then there are others who are just plain creeped out by it. But I have to say, like, I'm so into it that my girlfriend's even a gender bender. She's, like, seriously tomboy to the max. And I love her for a big reason why I love her is because of that. So I just really like the points you brought in. You know, not just bringing up various manga and titles and stuff that, you know, bring it up, but also you brought up a few interesting questions and stuff that, you know, make one really put themselves in their shoes and really wonder themselves.
Yeah.
What would I do if I was in that situation?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It must be the women's studies classes I was taking in college.
I know all about that. But I enjoy it. No, I'm not saying that as in a negative way. I enjoy that class because, like, I have my own identity crisis kind of thing, which is why I'm enjoying being a voice actor. Because I get to talk like girls and really, like, seduce guys.
Oh, yeah. That's fun. You know, there's a funny story, actually. I got to tell you guys. One time... it didn't even involve voice acting. We were part of Anime League. It's a very similar in a sense. It's an otaku type message board. They had some role playing games and stuff, and there were even some role playing games happening on AIM and stuff. And at the time, I introduced Camilo. Sasha knows Camilo. He's this Well,
he's a womanizer.
He's a womanizer. Yeah. We got
high five.
Yeah, you know he is. I'm
trying to find the smooth word, but that works.
He could be a womanizer.
Well, either way, I brought him online to play a role playing game. You know that we were involved in. Neil decided to also play, and he picked a female character. Go figure. You know, but no big deal. But what happened is Camilo just hits on anything that moves. That's, you know, remotely female, and he ended up spending like I don't know how long trying to get with Neil's character. Yeah, exactly. And Neil's not the kind that will just lead anyone on. He was just being himself and all, and it was just hilarious how one day Camille came up behind me and Neil in the library and saw that we were on Anime League, and he was like, "Oh hey, what's up?" And he was like, "Why is Neil on her name?" And then and like, "Oh hey, we're friends.
Wait, wait, it was the wait. Most what are the chances of moment? Us getting a transcript of this conversation?
Well, Camille hasn't forgiven Neil since. Refuses to talk to him. It's been possibly 8 years now. Refuses to talk to the man.
Eight?
This was back in high school, like when I was still in high school. Like a senior high school. So it was a while back. But I still, to this day, whenever I roleplay, I've always roleplayed female characters. I feel more comfortable doing female characters, and it's just how I am. I can play male characters, but like I feel like they always get judged, or you can't really do certain things with them because it's always like, oh, you're a guy and you do this, and you have the stigma about you. And even in real life, like I
could
just
do
like
a gender bender type thing.
Yeah, I know that's where I'm getting at. Like I dislike being male, kind of, but I've kind of gotten over that. But it's like, you know, like I had this whole like female male thing going on, and it's not really something I can parade around. But well, like something I can't parade around effectively. If I could do it effectively, then that would be a completely different story. I'm actually getting my hair straightened at some point in time. So,
I've been growing it out for a while.
Yeah, I'm growing it out.
I need to see pictures of that.
Yeah, okay. So I'm actually trying to get, like, when I talk to the lady who's going to be doing the hair, she's gonna be like, "Well, how do you want your hair?" I'm like, "I want to look like a girl."
All right. That's the way to go.
It's pretty manly.
I know.
It takes a real man to determine that they want a girly hair.
Yeah, exactly. So by doing that, you're just proving your masculinity again right there.
Yes, indeed.
Great.
Just love girls that much.
Yeah, because since I can't get one, I might as well become one.
That's philosophy to live by, guys.
I'm glad there's different kinds of philosophies.
No, I bust on myself like this all the time. Don't feel bad about it or anything.
I don't.
Good.
Oh my
gosh. Jeez.
But anyway, my thread. Do we still have time for that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, what's your thread?
Okay. Let's hear it.
Like what made you an otaku?
Wait, can you tell me the
actually,
number?
No, I shouldn't do that thread. Even though it's cool.
Whatever
thread.
You want.
I should probably do like who's learning Japanese? Yeah, that's cool. Thread.
Oh yeah. I know how Tom learns Japanese.
Fortune cookie?
Yeah, fortune cookie. That's highly
oh
Japanese.
Oh my gosh.
Funny how all Tom's believe? Japanese doesn't make sense to Japanese people.
Yeah. Fortune cookies are Chinese food.
Chinese, yes.
That's the joke.
That's the joke.
I think you got it now.
Anyway, I lived in, like, I studied Japanese for 4 years while I was in college. And, I lived in Osaka for a semester, as Sasha was right about all that when she mentioned it in the last podcast. So I've been studying it since then, but can't say that I've kind of stuck with it because it's really hard to do to stick with a language that you don't use at all in America. So but I will say that like coming back from Japan, there was no culture shock when I went there, which is kind of funny because I was actually told by a native Japanese like adult when I was there that I'm very Japanese. So that's saying a lot because they don't like say stuff just to say stuff. They do that, but if you know the person, then you can actually believe what they're saying most of the time. Right. So it's like, like I took that like as a really big compliment. But when I came back to America, there was severe like whiplash of culture compared to my time in Japan, because I was also in Tokyo for a week, so I got to experience that and go to Akihabara and Ginza for clothes shopping. Best clothes shopping experience ever. I love Ginza. I don't like to shop for clothes. Like, I was there for like 2 hours trying on stuff. It was great. But America is such rude people. Like, so many rude people, like, in America.
Yeah, just
like,
obnoxious.
it's like, but that's what, like, when I came back, like, I was like speaking Japanese in my mind, like, by myself, because I was by myself. And I was just like, well, these Americans are really, like, whacked out. So, like, I don't know, like, speaking Japanese is cool. I like it. Not just for anime purposes, but, I've really found, it's really cool to be able to, like, talk to someone in a different language, especially an Eastern
language.
It's
important, yeah. No, like, there's, like, brain studies that show that kids, you know, who know more than one language are, like, better learners or something. So,
and that's why Americans are so dull. Not intelligent. That's why the majority of America can't spell.
Hey, well, me and Ko, we're at least bilingual, trilingual.
Yeah, exactly. So. Thanks to our wandering ancestors that managed to go from Russia to Jordan to Syria to America, and then have to be forced to retain all those languages because of our culture and religion and blah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
and what culture is that? In case you don't know us personally.
Oh, yeah.
Circassian. It's like one of the two few Circassians left.
Yeah.
Two. Just Sasha and Marat.
And we got them both on one podcast.
We got the entire existing Circassian population is on this podcast.
That's like catching the most elusive Pokemon ever.
I caught Mew. Woo!
That's just the Game Shark code.
Mew?
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is the real life version of that Game Shark code.
But I don't have a Game Shark.
Dude, I'm using it right now. Whoa. Rot and Sasha are on the podcast. You better believe it's Game Shark.
You're cheating somehow.
All right, well, unless you guys have anything else you want to talk about, I think that's we could call it a week for the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me. I want to say, thank you guys for coming on. Thanks for taking such interest in our work. It's really been a pleasure to see such a growing fan base. And, you know, all your comments have been just reassuring and refueling my desire to continue making this.
Oh, awesome. Best of luck on, like, continuing that. And I can't wait to see the story develop. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to it as much as you guys are. Like, it's as much of a... Well, probably not as much, but it's a journey just as much as it is for you guys to be reading it. So really, thanks for having us on and having us ramble on about our little story. And hopefully people will take interest in what we're doing and want to support us just like you guys have. It's really cool.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys. All right. So I guess this is the end for the Otaku Pride podcast. We don't really have any site news this week. We're just going to skip that part.
Bam.
Because it's a bannable offense. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for being on the podcast, guys. And,
thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right, good night.
Good night, guys.
Later.
All right.